Hello and welcome to a very specific kind of episode of NYPD Blue Balls. This is kind of a check-in, a post-season 8 check-in. Kyle and I have been going pretty consistently for a while, and sometimes you got to take a moment and stop and look around and see what's going on. Also, sometimes your equipment kind of fails in different ways and different parts of it. And then you try to fix it, and it doesn't really work out the way you want to. Anyway, point is, this episode is shorter. It's kind of about where we are. There are spoilers for what's ahead. There are spoilers for the seasons we've done so far. I would say it's really for someone who's watched the whole series before, like us, and just kind of wants to hear us talk about what we think of the series as a whole after watching the first 8 seasons. Anyway, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy it, and I'll be talking to you in about 30 minutes from now. Peace. We're just gonna do it. Welcome to NYPD Blue Balls.
Why wouldn't we do it? Like, I don't understand. Why haven't we been doing it?
Welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. The podcast about every single episode about NYPD Blue. I'm Kirk, and the other voice is Kyle. And
this is the question. That's all.
We're taking a break from normal programming. One, to reflect, to look back. Kyle, do you know how many episodes of NYPD Blue we have covered so far in our run of NYPD Blue Balls?
I'm doing the math in my head. Sorry.
Well, I'm guessing it's a guess.
184.
Wow. 174. Damn.
I added too many. It's easy. I did 8 times 20, and then I just did an average of 22 episodes a year, but I think there were some 23s, 24s there. I think I added too many.
It's interesting you say that. Every season of NYPD Blue, 1 through 7, 22 episodes. Season 8 was only 20.
Oh, okay. So then... Yeah, so I miscalculated there. My bad.
170.
Sorry, Kirk.
How many episodes of this podcast do you think there are?
180.
194.
Why? Why are we up by 20?
We had a couple of episodes where we went back and did another episode on it because we got Papa Asher's opinion. That's happened a couple times.
Okay.
There are episodes where I and Ben talk about NYPD Blue because it's his first time watching it.
Oh, fucking Ben.
And he was binging it. It hasn't happened recently because Ben now has 2 children. He's had 2 children since we started this podcast.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of kids. And as we know, kids take up a lot of your time.
And what's crazy, both of them suck.
You have never met his children.
I know.
If you were to listen to every single one of our episodes that is currently out, season 1 through 8, bonus episodes, and binging episodes, and we had a handful of just episodes explaining what this podcast is or NYPD Blue news. If you had to guess how long all of those episodes put together are, what do you think it would be? Because it's kind of crazy.
567 hours?
Well.
Cool. I'm glad you don't have the answer ready to go.
It's because this is broken down into days.
Oh. Well, that sucks.
But I should be able to do this fairly quickly if I understand math.
Who measures in days?
Well, it comes out to 5.8 days.
Okay.
Which is 139.2 hours.
Oh, that's it?
139 hours.
And we did how many episodes? 194?
Yeah.
So that's less than an hour an episode?
Well, that's also another interesting thing.
Am I doing my math right?
Our episode started out as only about 20, 30 minutes.
Oh, and as older we've gotten worse.
Well, what ended up happening was... We started out just kind of talking about the episode. Then I imagine my anxieties led us to do more of a recap of the entire episode.
Yeah, more work. You're the guy who raises his hand to let the teacher know they didn't give us homework.
And then we started to do commentaries where we're literally watching the episode.
That's true. That was only for like 45 minutes.
And when we did that, we literally got messages from people. We don't get a lot of feedback, but I actually got feedback that said those were terrible. And we were doing it mostly because we were across the country from one another, and it was an easier way for us to sync up our thoughts into one cohesive thing. And then it turned out everybody hated it.
I mean, I hated it.
But now our episodes kind of come in around an hour and kind of cover the whole episode.
I mean, we could cut like 15 minutes out of most of our episodes, but like,
you might be surprised. I already do.
You like to babble.
I have cut out a lot of stuff out of our episodes.
You like that movie, Babble.
I'm just like that movie, Babble. But one of the reasons to kind of slow down and look back, and by the way, huge spoiler alert for this episode. I don't know if you're watching the show for the first time and listening to our show. Probably not the best idea because we do spoilers even on accident. We're kind of entering the final form of NYPD Blue.
Yeah, like the ultimate boss.
Like, if you were to break NYPD Blue into sections, this really is the final form.
Yeah, these are like their hardest four seasons because like their ultimate boss is like horrible writing. And then it doesn't help that there's like a sprinkle of mediocre acting. Am I wrong?
But it
spoiler,
is.
Best thing that happens though is Ricky Schroeder never comes back.
That's the big spoiler alert. Ricky Schroeder doesn't come back. We'll talk about it more the first episode of next season, but we are now entering the MPG.
You talk about all the time, like you read you've read certain like interviews where people say they like change things up on the spot. And it's like, I think in these next four seasons, you can feel it a lot.
Well, I think
where there's a lot of, it feels like a lot of things just don't make sense. And they try to make it make sense like in the moment, but it just doesn't work out.
It also was a reason Jimmy Smits left that like David Milch liked to write like on the day and change things. And he didn't like to work like that for long periods, like forever.
It seemed to be working out pretty good for him though. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you also made a great point, I think, when we talked about
next to West Wing, I think it's the best thing he's ever done.
What about that Dexter season, huh? When Kim Delaney, who played Russell,
Kim Dehaney,
when she left in that episode, you made a good point that this is 22 episode seasons. This is a lot of your time.
Yeah.
And if you don't actually enjoy the way it's going together, if you drop three seasons, that's 66 episodes of show. Over 3 years.
What are you talking about? I'm confused. You're creating math of about what? What are we talking about?
You made the point that it's a lot of your time to do this show. So if you spend a lot of time doing something in a way you don't like doing, it weighs a little heavier on you. So even though they're making a great show.
All right. Fair, I guess.
Like Jimmy Smits can go like, look, I gave you 66 episodes. Like I gave you a lot. I just don't want to do this way anymore. Same with
no,
Kim.
I mean, he also got some money.
He also got some Emmy nominations. I think he won too.
He didn't get any Emmy nominations with NYPD Blue?
No, he got an Emmy nomination with, I don't know if he got a win. I know, I'm pretty sure Franz has a win.
Yeah, I think Franz has multiple wins.
But I don't know if Smits does. He might. I should probably check that. But
yeah, we're doing a nerd episode, so you might as well look at those stats.
He has one Golden Globe for NYPD Blue, but one Primetime Emmy for LA Law.
Oh, interesting.
So he does not have, I know he was nominated.
Yeah, but maybe, and Sipowicz and Simone only has one.
Yeah, he doesn't even have an Emmy, he only has a Golden Globe. Damn. He does have an Emmy for supporting actor in a drama series for LA Law, He was
who? Sipowicz or Simone?
Simone. Jimmy okay. Smits.
Was in L.A. Law. He has a primetime Emmy for that.
For that. He was also nominated basically every year for L.A. Law. Then he was nominated almost every year for NYPD Blue.
But he never won.
But he never won.
What about Sipowicz?
Sipowicz, I'm actually on the Emmy site. That would make it a lot easier. I know he has one. That's not even a question.
I think he has one for sure.
He has four Emmys.
Yeah, that's why Simone wasn't getting them.
He was nominated seemingly every year for being Andy Sipowicz, but he won in 1999, 1997, 1996, and 1994.
Wow. Who won in 95? Who upset him in 95? That'd be interesting.
That's a good question. Mandy Patinkin for Chicago Hope. So to give you an idea, that year, Mandy Patinkin
won.
Don't
give me ideas.
The nominees, mm-hmm. Mandy Patinkin for Chicago Hope, George Clooney and Anthony Edwards both for ER.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Smits and Dennis Franz both for NYPD Blue. So those guys probably split the votes like crazy.
Yeah.
And then Mandy Patinkin snuck in there.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Fuck you, Mandy Patinkin. But yeah, basically he always lost to Sipowicz, I guess. Simone.
But how many was Simone nominated for again, you said? Four? Three. Two.
One, two, three, Bless four, off. Five. Five times he was nominated for Simone.
I wonder if like there's only one time he gets nominated where Sipowicz isn't nominated.
I mean, I could go through each one, but it takes some time.
It's not that big
deal. But anyway.
You can do it later for homework.
But anyway, the point being, he is creating good work, but if he doesn't like the conditions, asking him to do it for like that many episodes is pretty taxing. So
I get that. I totally understand that.
But in terms of thinking about NYPD Blue as eras, the reason it's going into its final form is a lot of what made the show is leaving.
Yeah.
Or I mean, left.
Pretty much the whole OG cast, but Sipowicz and Medavoy are left.
Medavoy,
everyone else is gone.
Medavoy is the only character that was there from the beginning as well, and even he wasn't in every single episode of the first season because it wasn't even clear that he'd be like a mainstay.
Yeah, remember the good old days.
But I mean, we go back and forth. I think you hate the character, but I think we can appreciate the actor.
Yeah, for sure.
The guy does a really good job. It's just his character gets so annoying so fast and kind of perfectly. That's what he's supposed to do. Looking back, we now have to... What?
You said look back.
I said looking back, Kyle. Metaphorically. Oh. At the show we've been watching for several years.
I don't look back. Always looking forward, baby.
All right, then... As I've already mentioned, spoiler alerts, we have Mark Paul Gosselaar to look forward to.
PG, baby.
Which I have to ask, your longtime partner in life was a big fan of Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, that's one of the TV shows they got in Peru when she was growing up, as she always says.
I had no opinion on MPG when I first saw him.
Yes, Maria liked that show. Sorry. Back to your original question.
I had no opinion on MPG because I had never really watched Saved by the Bell. So seeing him in this and seeing him in these future seasons, it was always more like it's just another babyface guy because the other babyface guy left.
Oh, but he's so much more.
I thought he was, I mean, we'll get into it as we watch it. I remember him being a little bit better than
he's not horrible.
Ricky like, Schrodes.
Yeah, for sure. But he's not like he's not that much better.
I also think they made his backstory more concrete and understandable.
Yeah, yeah. Something you can hold on to, something you can understand, something that you can get emotional about, not just some like random people in the world that you'll never meet.
And they don't keep it a mystery. Like everything with everything with Sorensen was like, oh, he's going to hang out with his sister. He has a sister. Oh yeah, we haven't heard about her yet. And then when they're at the dinner, she's like, you really should come see aunt and uncle. And he's like, yeah, I'll get over there. And you're like, what's going on? And then when he finally tells you, you're like, oh, that's complicated and weird. I wish they would show not tell us this in some way. But with John Clark Jr., Mark Paul Gosselaar's character, it like opens up explaining exactly what this character is about, why he's connected to Sipowicz, why there's tension.
Yeah.
Like there's, it makes a lot of sense right out of the gate rather than like confusing, then bring in Diane, confuse it more.
No, so, I agree.
I don't think they should have named him John. That's just a personal thing, which we'll talk about when we get to those episodes.
That's weird.
Because his first partner was named John. And I don't think they intended to do like a full circle thing. But it's also, I think it's just dumb. There's so many white dude names.
I know, but Danny rhymes, it kind of sounds like Andy. And isn't that the name of his kid?
That's his name too.
Yeah, so I mean, like, what are we talking about?
I don't know. I just didn't. We'll talk about it more when we get there, obviously.
I think that's a random thing. Yeah, but we don't care about John Kelly anymore.
And that is the question, rewatching all these episodes again, and now we're at the end of the Sorensen era. Where do you rank Sorensen amongst just the first three?
Oh, he's in last place.
He's even below Kelly?
Yeah, for sure.
So, Simone at the top.
Yeah.
Simone, Kelly, then Sorensen.
Yeah, 100%.
All right.
Yeah.
There's just, okay.
There's like, who you think it's different?
I don't think it's different.
Your dumbass probably has Danny first, but like that's a different conversation.
No, Simone is always going to be first. That's not even.
Yeah.
I really
when it's over, it becomes a real conversation. The conversation's at 2 and 3. One is Simone, and 4 is always Danny.
You think Danny's always at the
always
bottom?
Always 4.
I think you can make an argument that MPG is at the bottom.
Well, like, what are we talking about? Are we talking about overall, or are we talking about choices? Because he definitely, because that's the other thing I feel like they also told him, it was like, hey, like, go for it. Danny kind of held back, like, or Ricky was kind of holding back like a little bitch. Like, try things. Like, act. It's okay. Because he does try some weird stuff every now and then.
Yeah.
He does make some weird facial expressions. But, like, it's better than just, like, always walking around moping with your head down and your shoulders up. Like, that's what I felt like fucking Danny did the whole time. Like,
I think you just mixed their names.
What?
So, you think Danny didn't make a lot of choices, but Mark Paul did?
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
Ricky Schroeder didn't make a
Ricky
lot of choices.
Ricky Schroeder didn't make a lot of choices. Mark Paul Gosselaar did. But they're also different characters, too. Like, they're playing different people. Well, and we'll talk more about that when we meet.
When we meet
MPG.
John Clark Jr. If you compare kind of the Sorensen era to the very first season, and maybe the first season into the 4 episodes of season 4 with Mr. Caruso, you would say the Caruso seasons, the first seasons are just better, hands down, than the Danny seasons.
The first season of the one season of Caruso?
Yeah, I mean, a season and 4 eps.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's not even a squirt. Yeah, for sure.
All right.
I think so. I think like overall, like if you're factoring in everything, like his story, how he delivers it, all that, I think Caruso's better for sure.
I do think,
for the fuck's sake, he's the main storyline through the whole thing.
That's the thing.
He's driving the storyline, and that's what helped the show get popular. Like, no offense, like. So he's definitely better than Danny.
Well, that would be...
Get out of here. What are you talking about?
Well, that would be my question.
Stupid green shirt.
That would be my question, mostly from a perspective of they literally ran the show as if he's the main character and it wasn't an ensemble. And by the time it got to Sorensen, this is an ensemble situation.
With Caruso?
No.
Starting with Caruso. It's not an ensemble.
Yeah.
By
the time they get to Sorensen, he doesn't need to fight for time. He gets his own time, but also a lot of that time is devoted to Sipowicz. It's devoted to Russell. It's devoted to other things. And so I think the Caruso season, it becomes the Caruso show, and it's barely about Sipowicz. And then after he leaves, they kind of divvy it up a little bit more, and Sipowicz starts winning more Emmys. I think it was a lot more Caruso heavy.
I mean, Caruso doesn't really have his storyline start to like halfway through, right?
No, it starts like immediately with his father and his mom. And then he talks to the bagpipe gecko. That's all him. The woman that's being hit by her husband, and then her husband dies. That's all him. He has all the side stories, like the guy who threatens a judge.
All right.
Like Sipowicz is kind of... Sipowicz was basically Jesse Pinkman, who I don't think they had planned on him being around.
But no, they didn't.
But he's just so good.
He was supposed to die after getting shot, but people
really liked him.
Tested and thought he was funny. Yeah, I 100% think Caruso's better in the like season and like four episodes than Danny's whole arc. If you take the overall, like if you wanted to break everything down, then and figure it out, I think Danny could win some things. But I just think the overall story and how it's delivered, I think Caruso's a little better.
They do drop some stuff with Danny, where they started out kind of like this really...
He had that going against him, too.
Like, they just dropped his whole, like, anxiety, depression thing to have him bang Russell.
And the other thing is, like, it's hard because, like I said, that first season is when it got really popular, and it must have been for a reason.
Yeah.
Like, could Ricky Schroeder have been that guy, been the first episode starter of NYPD Blue with Dennis Franz? I don't think so.
Call me crazy.
Crazy.
I don't know if, like, that's the real question I asked myself about that first season is, like, was it the show itself or was it David Caruso? Like, could they have gotten basically any generic white dude to be that guy and the show would be popular? Some people disagree because I've seen comments on Reddit say, like, he basically embodied every, like, Irish New York cop perfectly.
Okay.
And everybody kind of, like, hooked into it. I don't know if it was really him. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like when you...
It's not supposed to be, though. He's playing a character.
Well, him playing that character, his stamp. It's kind of like when you hear a great band and then you hear, the guitarist is leaving to start a new band. And then you're like, well, was it really just him or did they jam out together stuff? And is it going to really change that much?
I get what you're saying.
I don't know if it's really him. He does get a lot of the credit. And I think he used that wave to then do movies that were fucking garbage.
That's what the money was then. Just gotta get into the movies.
Yeah, like Kiss of Death. You watch that?
Jade.
But I think we both agree if Smits had just stuck around for all 12 seasons, it'd probably be a better show.
Oh, for sure.
Here's
100%. 100%.
Here's a question that obviously this is like half of all podcasting.
Because they would have kept going with the Diane thing. They would have gotten married, started talking about families. Maybe, you know, they would have brought in, someone would have, like, tried to get in between their love. You know, they had so much they could have done with it. And everyone really liked him at the time as that character, so.
We probably would have taken some tragedies off of Sipowicz.
Yeah, that's true, like.
Because Sipowicz just had to deal with shit every fucking year.
They probably would have dealt with, like, a miscarriage or a pregnancy scare or something, you know. There's a lot of someone's stuff.
And I guess this is the question that's all that what I said about podcasting. It's all speculation. If Smith sticks around, do you think anybody else leaves?
Smith?
What did I say?
You know, so if Smith sticks around, does anyone else leave?
Because by that point, like, Abundondo left.
No, I think some people that would, like, Abundondo, I would like to know what she did right after. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if she did something, had something lined up, then I don't blame her because then she's probably making more money. And she's, like, mm-hmm. the head of something or, like, more of a star. The other characters, I don't know, it just depends. Maybe they would have gotten, like, their own sitcom. I could see why they left.
Because, yeah, I was wondering, thinking about, like, how many people left. You're talking James McDaniel, who was Fancy.
Fancy's gone.
Totoro.
Totoro's gone.
Kim Delaney as Russell's gone.
Abundondo's gone.
Well, Abundondo, I think, left before Smiths did.
Yeah.
But you have all these people that decide to go. Kirkendall, I don't know what happened there, but she's gone.
She's gone. No, well, she's gone, yeah. She's there for, what, a year?
2 years?
2 years.
It had to be at least 2 years.
Yeah, because Dawn happens in the first year, I think, for her.
But you have all these people that decide to leave, but I think they saw Jimmy Smits leave and go like, oh, that's an option, really, to kind of set this down, go somewhere else, and we'll all be fine. I think if he sticks around, the amount of people leaving decreases because... The
show. Yeah.
Not saying that they would stick around just for him. I just think it's more clearly an option. But then again, I'm not an actor working on a network show in the 90s and early 2000s. But I don't know. There's just something I thought when thinking about this. But we're talking about the future, talking about the past. We have 4 more seasons to go.
Yeah.
The first season after this little break we took is 23 seasons, then 22, then 22, then 20. We'll have 87 more episodes to do.
Dang, that's a lot.
All of them, I mean, once again, I said spoilers at the top, all Mark Paul Gosselaar as partner. He's the last partner Sipowicz has on the show. I think we do get some new characters. Start of this season coming up.
Yeah, for sure. Someone, yeah.
We have more departures.
Yeah.
We have more shocking surprises for Sipowicz's life, mostly positive.
Yeah.
In very strange ways.
Yeah, more stuff happening in this man's life than anybody's life.
That Mad TV sketch is like the best sketch at explaining it, where Will Sasso is Sipowicz with MPG. Talking about Sipowicz and his existence. But that's what we have to look forward to. Thank you to everybody who has listened. We don't really do that during the show, but
you can eat my ass.
Okay. Well, you have an official "You Can Eat My Ass" from the other host.
We can cut that.
But we do have people listening, and I appreciate it. And
yeah, thank you. That's nice.
And I'm glad that we
kind.
We all appreciate NYPD Blue, even if we disagree on certain things. You know,
I don't disagree. You're just wrong.
Okay. Well, there's. But anything you would like to say as we venture forth into season 8, 9, 10?
No.
No, 9, 10, 11, and 12?
No. No, I'm happy MPG showing up.
Also, you have gone on the record that we're in the downturn.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we've definitely started to decline when it comes to episode quality.
Michael Scott has left The Office.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Because it's not. I've always said that The Office didn't get bad the second he left. It started to get bad. It started to get worse.
But it was never like. Yeah, no, you're right.
It wasn't like all of a sudden it's a bad show. It just started to decline. And then by the time you get to the end of it, you're like,
it got busier, yeah.
No, how did we get here? Anyway, thank you. Talk to you next time.
Salute.
thank you for listening to this unconventional episode of NYPD Blue Balls. But to be honest, when have they been conventional? If you just need more NYPD Blue in your life, there's a couple of books out there. True Blue, written about the first couple seasons. What Would Sibowitz Do? A collection of articles about the show. An unofficial guide to NYPD Blue, written by Gene Kendall. It's on Amazon for 99 cents. And then there's Blue Bloods and Blue Beginnings, written by Max Allen Collins, which are stories within the world of NYPD Blue that are pretty good if you don't find them for like over $100. They've been pretty crazy on Amazon lately. Anyway, we are on Instagram at Asher Brothers Podcast, mostly just mentioning when new episodes of NYPD Blue Balls are out. And we're on X under Asher Bros Pod, but in all reality, that'll probably be deleted soon. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Please rate and review. It's how people see it in the algorithm. But most importantly, we might get more people watching NYPD Blue, which is available on Hulu and Tubi. Or the DVDs if you want to get nasty.